Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor.
And I am Dylan. And welcome back to everyone who is listening. This is like our third or fourth month now of doing this. So if
it
you're
is.
Still listening, thank you. If you're new, welcome.
Yes.
So the thing that everyone's talking about this weekend in particular is this Taylor Swift documentary on Netflix.
Miss Americana.
That's right. Which
yes,
we watched.
God. We did, of course.
And I am an unapologetic Swiftie. I don't know how our guest is. We'll see. Or we don't have to talk about it. But I'm just glad that it's out there and it's like kind of shedding light on something, because we both have complicated feelings about cancel culture and the way that it all goes. And so to be able to see every side of something is really cool. And
I love it.
And she's someone who came from that that very country world where you can't voice your opinions on things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like they talk about the Dixie Chicks.
Or the pressure that her label put on her and her father put on her.
Mm-hmm.
That the documentary kind of, this is like a spoiler, but it kind of hinted that maybe her and her dad don't have a great relationship. Like, I think it looks like they're on good terms, but because he really didn't want her to share her political
views.
That
was
views.
Like the big plot line of the documentary is that she's going to tweet in support of a Democrat in Tennessee. Like, I would say that's the major storyline.
That is the major storyline. But you also see her literally writing three or four songs, which I thought was really cool to see. I love that kind of stuff. The way she's able to just think of lyrics, and then obviously we know the songs, so we're like, oh my God, that is what the song is.
The best part was her and Jack Antonoff writing the bridge to Getaway Car.
I know. Oh,
that
I
was so
loved
cool
that.
To watch
cinematic
that
genius.
Oh, well, yeah. Something like that.
I loved it.
No, but she's someone who, we were talking about beforehand, how many people are going to be voting in this upcoming election.
Oh,
and she's really,
yeah.
I think, for lack of a better phrase, waking people up to that notion who might not be as politically engaged.
Yeah, well, even the documentary shows, and I'm not going to guess the numbers because I forget, but, when she first made her first political statement, was that last summer or two summers
ago? I don't even remember.
I forget.
It was before the 2018.
Oh, okay, okay. So 2 summers ago. They said how many people registered to vote within those 24 hours. So an impact has been made. Let's hope they get out
and
vote in the right way.
She is just a brilliant songwriter, and I love her lyrics
I know.
So much.
Do you have a top 3 Taylor Swift songs?
The first place my mind went was Holy Ground.
Okay. Oh, that's my favorite one.
And then I think a lot of things from Red, but I recently became a 1989 stan.
Recently?
Yeah, because I think Red held that place for me. And then actually Reputation is climbing for me. But
here's what Red is. Red is fall.
Mm-hmm.
It is 18 years old.
Mm.
It is walking around a college campus, falling in love for the first time, being moody, going through it all, dreams and drama. And I feel like I can't listen to any of those songs without being right back. Or I guess 19 years old. Whoops.
Red is drama.
Red is drama.
Yeah.
Totally, totally drama.
She just is a gorgeous songwriter. And we actually have a beautiful songwriter with us today.
We do.
But there's many other things which I'm going to get into.
Yes.
Our guest today is a musical genius known for his gorgeous voice, brilliant songwriting, music direction, and performances in New York City as well as around the country. After graduating high school, he immediately went on tour with Spring Awakening as the Naive Ernst. He then took his talents to Harvard University shortly after, performing with and composing musicals for Hasty Pudding Theatricals.
Ooh.
In addition to composing his own musical, Don't Call Me John, his credits include Head Over Heels, Amelie, The Deaf West, Spring Awakening on Broadway, Arlington, and After Anatevka with former drama guest Al Silber, and being the music director, co-orchestrator, and a cast member of the Drama Desk nominated The Hello Girls, streaming now on Spotify.
Yes, God.
He appears in the monthly comedy variety show, The Bongo Hour, and will be performing in Oratorio for Living Things at Ars Nova this spring, as well as having his own solo concert at the Duplex on February 15th at 7 p.m. Please welcome to Drama. Ben Moss.
Hi.
Hi, Ben. Ah. Did I get the date right on your show?
You got the date right, but the time is 9:30.
It's 9:30. Okay. Oh, the last 9:30. One was at 7.
Yes. Okay. The last one is at 7. The next one is at 9:30.
A little later.
Yeah, a little later. Kind of like for an, you know, sexier. More adult crowd. Yeah. No, the 7 o'clock has, you have to do it under an hour.
Okay.
And I wanted the opportunity to kind of go longer.
Yes.
And hack it with more music.
I wish we could go to the next one.
Oh, you can't.
We're back in Ohio that weekend.
You know, it's a long weekend. Mm-hmm. It's bad timing. But
no,
you know,
no, it's
people will
great.
Come. We have great guests.
Yeah, who's
Larry Owens is going to be.
Oh, my God.
And Natalie Walker.
Oh my God.
Will be singing.
Are you kidding?
And maybe someone else.
Okay.
I have a friend who was literally just nominated for an Oscar, and if his schedule clears up, he is going to.
What?
I'm shaking.
And that's as far as I'll go.
Okay. Yes. Well, this will air right before the show.
Great.
So if anyone.
Well, that'll be
anyone,
a treat. People will be able to guess, I suppose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My friend Scarlett Johansson.
I know.
Double nominee.
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I didn't see either of those movies.
Oh my gosh.
I heard they're really good.
They're really good.
Jojo
both
Rabbit
of them are really good.
Amazing.
And I have to say something. Okay. She's really great in both.
Okay, so what
she's
do you think
great.
Do you think she should win for either of them?
No. Okay. I don't know. I don't think so. I think Laura Dern is definitely going to win for Marriage Story for whatever reason. I mean, it's an amazing Laura Dern performance in the supporting
category.
Have
you seen Big Little Lies?
I have seen Big
Little Lies. Okay, so it's like Renata Klein. It's like her character from that, but just like times 100 in this movie.
Wow, okay.
She was like a divorce lawyer. Uh-huh. So it's like,
but she's great in everything. She's so good.
She's terrific.
And I guess this will be her Oscar. I imagine it will be.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I do. Although Florence Pugh in Little Women was amazing.
Florence Pugh in Little Women changed my life and like attitude. I don't know. I loved everything about her performance. I grew up with my older sister Caroline loving the Winona Ryder version.
Yeah,
And I think the scenes in the movie where Winona Ryder like cuts someone's hair, Meg's hair off by accident, they all get really angry, and then like what's her name, Amy, like burns the manuscript and she falls into the, you know, the ice. It was like so weirdly traumatizing to me that I could not watch. I never watched it again.
Oh my God,
I was like, Little Women is not for me. It scares me. And so watching that movie and like falling so deeply in love with Amy and her journey, and I just it redeamed the story for me. I should read the book.
I should
I know.
Everyone who reads it says it's incredible.
Yeah, it has such a devoted following.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Florence, she really, I've never liked Amy, but I understood her more.
Says. I think if I had like seen other versions of it, I maybe would have had.
Have you seen the musical version?
I've never seen the musical version.
The character of Amy sucks in the musical. I think that's why a lot of us theater gays hate Amy.
Yeah.
But she's so good. The scene in the beginning, well, I guess it's, you know how this new Little Women is like a frame story?
Yes,
so
the frame.
It's with, it's where Amy is with Aunt Meryl.
Yes.
Whatever her character's name is. Is it just Aunt March? Aunt March. And she sees Laurie, who's, you know, dreams.
Guys.
He's so sweet.
So dreamy.
Wait, look at Connor's shirt, actually.
Yeah, Chalamet and Chill.
Chalamet and Chill. Wow, that's so cute.
This is really funny, but there was this like viral video going around on Twitter, which was footage from the movie, which I have no idea how they got it. Probably from a screener or something. But it's of when Amy sees Laurie for the first time, and she's like getting back in the carriage with Aunt March, and Florence is just so great. She's so happy and she's thrilled, and she looks at her aunt and she goes, "It's Laurie." And the tweet was like, she should win an Oscar for her delivery the way she says it's Laurie. But it's so true. It's filled with such love and compassion and history and hope. Oh my God,
it's a really
I'm
rich,
sobbing.
It's a really rich performance. It's just like so human.
She's great. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think she'll win the Oscar, but I think she will win an Oscar one day.
Oh, definitely. She's she's like 18 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe
filled with youth and dating Zach Braff.
Oh, I remember reading that.
She's so weird. Zach Braff.
So weird.
Yeah, I know. That's great for them.
It's great.
You know, if they are into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
For them to have
love is love.
Love is love.
This is, I guess. This is our unofficial Valentine's Day episode.
Wait,
it's
you're right.
Coming out like the 12th.
Yeah, so she will have already either won or lost.
Oh yeah, true.
So everyone listening knows something that we don't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you're right. Oh my God. Well, I hope she wins. She'd be great. That was great.
I wish they all could win.
I know.
I
mean,
I
you
know.
Kind of like every year the Oscars come around and you look at the nominees, and of course they're all terrific, but then you think to yourself, like, these people are really the five best performances.
I
like
know.
Really, out of all the movies, it's mm-hmm. always like the same people ish right. the same types of people. At the director of Parasite
yes
was quoted as saying that the Oscars are like a quote local awards show, and I think that is really true. I mean, it just like really focuses on Hollywood filmmaking.
Yeah. He's the breakout really, star of this awards season.
That movie was the best movie I've seen
so
in years.
Good. It was I would amazing watch it again.
I would watch it a million times. Mm-hmm.
Although it gave me so much anxiety,
so much anxiety. My jaw was on the floor. I was clutching the person I came in with. I've loved it.
It was
it.
So good.
Someone last night was like, oh, it was too scary for me. And I didn't think it was scary,
no,
really.
No, suspenseful.
I just thought it was, yeah, it was suspenseful. Yeah. It was thrilling. And then, like, the twists were unbelievable.
I never saw them coming.
Never saw them coming.
Oh, man.
Whereas you want to talk about a suspenseful, scary movie, which we actually watched last night.
Oh, God,
Ma, don't. Have you seen that with
Octavia Spencer? No, I wasn't drawn to
Ben,
that.
Don't watch
yeah,
it.
Dylan
sort of chose to purchase it from YouTube.
It was an accident. From YouTube.
Yeah. He was the first person on the planet to ever purchase anything on YouTube.
It was an accident. I thought it was like rent, or you can press like buy options. It usually gives you an option to rent.
Uh-huh.
For like
you bought
$2 or $3. I own it. So if you ever want to watch it.
You own it. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of my best friends works for YouTube, so I'm sure she's happy you decided to do that.
That's so helping her support her in
Google
a way.
Google really needs your money. We all know that.
They do.
It's a good thing you gave them.
Oh, yeah.
Your $2.99.
In this case, $6.99.
No way.
It was $7.
$7 with taxes?
Maybe.
Negligible.
Yeah. Negligible.
Okay, so you own a movie that you neither of you liked, but you did watch it in its entirety.
Oh, yeah.
From start to finish.
Can you gift it to somebody?
Well, I told my boyfriend, I was like, you need to watch it so it's worth it. Like, I'm going to give you my YouTube login info.
Right.
Generous.
Yeah. You just, like, kind of, like, send it out.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, I'm going to get in trouble if no one who has any control over this is ever going to hear me saying this. But if you, like, screenshotted the whole movie.
I could,
a screen recording.
Yeah.
And then you could like send it out as a gift.
Oh,
that's piracy.
That's very thoughtful.
It is. I'll see you in jail.
Yeah. They're still coming after me from like my LimeWire use back in middle school. So they've got my number already.
Napster. That was the one that made that one guy really rich.
Oh my God, that's right.
Trump, who was Justin Timberlake in the social network.
What was his name?
Doesn't matter.
Ben.
He's rich.
He's rich.
We're not.
I know.
I'll speak for myself. I'm not. And
I'm not rich
either. But I know
either.
My own name.
Yeah.
That
that's true.
Ben Moss.
Benjamin Kennedy Moss.
Yes, that's me.
This is truly surreal for Connor and I to be sitting here with you.
Okay.
It's very well documented throughout this podcast that I think in reality we just started it so we could talk to everyone who's in Spring Awakening,
specifically the national tour.
Oh my God! And you've done quite well. Haven't you? Yeah, I've noticed.
Christina was our last guest. Matt Doyle.
Yeah.
No one upcoming yet.
We had Lily Cooper.
Yeah, well,
she was Broadway.
Original Broadway.
Christa Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're making our way.
Yeah.
But when we were like 15, I mean, you guys were our world. And we were drawn to you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the whole cast, and we talked about this with Christina, like the whole Totally Trucked stuff that you guys did.
Yeah,
it felt like we knew you guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what was so funny about that experience? It was I was on it from 2008 to 2009, and it was the advent of social media. Really, like Facebook had been around, and I had a Facebook, but. I remember getting a Twitter account during. I remember we were in Baltimore, Maryland, and I would like signed up for Twitter. Instagram was years away.
Yeah,
but
it was.
Like we were all kind of developing these social media personas, and then Todd Cerveris, I think it was Todd, had this incredible idea to make. I mean, I think YouTube video. What are they called? Ugh.
Like blogs?
Yeah,
blogs,
like vlogs.
Vlogs.
That was really popular.
Yeah.
And so Todd was like, we should do these. And we did them. And they really spoke to you, I guess.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And this might sound a little crazy. But what was it about me that drew you specifically to me, like more than anyone else?
Yeah. You want to say?
I feel like it was your voice.
That's really sweet.
Seriously. You just have this voice of like angels.
I think we saw ourselves in you in a way. Because it's like we were so close in age. We also wanted to do what you were doing. And it was like, wow, he just like got out of high school and he's touring the country in our favorite musical. I think there was a lot of that. And then you also just came across as so genuine in everything.
I'm so deeply moved. I really am. Yeah, because I think you go into this business and you, I mean, we'll get to this later, but you only go into it because you fell in love with it as a kid.
Yeah.
And you watched people who you never knew anything about be on stage and be fantastic and kind of love their work and be totally enchanted and smitten by them. And so the idea that then, like, to then get to do it is a miracle, and then to find out that people would watch you and feel that way about you, it just is, it's really special.
Aww.
And like humbling.
Oh wow.
Really.
Yeah, well,
I'm thrilled to be here. Like deep, so excited to talk to you.
Oh my goodness.
It's so crazy.
So much.
Yeah, and I love you guys so much.
Well, thanks. But yeah, I remember being like 15, Spring Awakening was coming to Cleveland, and we had seen it on Broadway the summer before. But again, like you said, social media was really taking off at the time, which is crazy to say now. But I mean, and there was no Instagram. But I joined Twitter because I was like going to follow the national tour cast.
All of you guys are the first people.
The first people I follow. Follow
you, Lucas Wells, Annie Mantis, Gabby Garza, if she's still on Twitter.
Christy Altamar.
Yes.
All of you guys.
Yeah.
Kyle Riabko was like one of my early great loves.
Kyle.
Oh my god.
Oh baby.
I loved Kyle.
I know.
We would just switch off like who I had a crush on in the cast, like as the tour went on.
Right.
Fully.
Honestly, same.
Yeah. That's like the thing is like you guys were all just so amazing. And like you could tell that you guys were all tight and stuff. So it was cool.
Yeah. It was a really, I don't know, like looking back at it now, I was the youngest at the time.
11 years ago.
I was 17, almost 12 years ago, actually.
We started
rehearsals in 2008.
Oh my God.
Summer of 2008. And I mean, I was 17. I was the youngest. The oldest of like the kids was like 27. So now being like, okay, I'm older than everybody.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And the idea that there would be like 15, like average age, 21-year-olds roaming around the country together with a lot of money and nothing to do except a musical about sex. It's crazy.
I know. It's such a horny musical.
There was like a lot of in-dating throughout the show, which all the fans like would catch on to and see.
Yeah.
And like it was, I mean, the fans were crazy.
Some of them were crazy.
Yeah.
Some of them were not.
Like you.
Yeah. No.
We always prided ourselves on being like relatively normal in regards to like a lot of what we would see on social media.
I remember meeting you.
Oh my God, I told you this last week.
I met you at the Stage Door in Cleveland.
That's right.
Something about that theater, maybe there was like an indoor alley.
There was.
And I remember meeting you guys.
That's crazy. Oh,
and you just were so nice and sweet.
Oh my God. And thanks.
You still are.
Thanks.
It's beautiful.
You know, it meant the world to us when we would go see you guys and then like wait after to get a picture with you or whatever, because you guys were so, again, genuine, nice, and so talented. I mean, we used to watch you guys sing on YouTube. You would do these like cabarets.
Yeah.
And speaking of like pirating stuff from YouTube, we would like rip the songs. I don't even know how we did it.
I think it was through Audacity.
And we would put them on our MP3 players of you guys singing. I don't even know. These
you
cabarets.
You sang Someone to Fall Back On.
With Anthony Lee Medina.
Hamilton's Anthony Lee Medina.
Yes, now television star. Yeah.
But yeah, oh my God, we were obsessed.
And you, of course, had your original music too.
I did. I hadn't done too much of that yet, I think, when I was on tour. I
remember Crossroads of Love.
That I wrote in college.
Okay, that was later.
So Crossroads of Love, yeah, that was a song.
Well, when we came to your show at the Duplex recently, our friend Danny D, who also was a huge Cleveland Guilty One,
he was like,
do you guys remember Crossroads of Love? And we were like, oh my God,
I was like,
I do.
If you guys were coming in February, I would play it.
Oh,
you're not.
Ben, so canceling our flight.
When I was on tour with Spring Awakening, I was in the mode still of writing like classical music. That was something that I had done in high school. Was I got really interested in writing for orchestras, it wasn't like Mozart, but it was like for orchestras and for small like chamber ensembles. And when I was on tour, I would continue to do that, and I would kind of sometimes like take the pieces that I wrote and like the band would play them for me, which was really nice and fun. And then I stopped writing that kind of music when I went to college because it's hard. It takes a lot of time.
Well, like, it was like well known that you were like a musical like prodigy in many ways. And you still are. Because you went to Harvard.
That word, Eric.
You went to Harvard.
I know.
And didn't you? You studied. Did you study the songwriting composition?
I was an English major.
Oh, actually. I was an English major.
So you were? Still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great
at Ohio State.
Uh-huh, yeah. It's a great major. I was just having this conversation with someone the other week. I think there's a lot of English major shame in the world.
Oh yeah.
Especially in musical theater because of that song from Avenue Q.
Oh my God. 100%.
What do you do with the BA in English? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you can do anything you want.
You can do a podcast.
You can do a podcast. You can write music. And conduct Broadway shows. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went into the English department as an undergrad, they put a pie chart on the screen that was like, these are all the careers that everyone who's done English at Harvard has gone into. And it was everything. It was like doctors, lawyers, astronauts, maybe not astronauts, but like really like all sorts of people. And so what I feel like I got from an English degree was the capability to interpret, understand, and engage with the world creatively and imaginatively and with a brain.
100%.
So that's what I did at school. The reason I didn't study music was because the music department had classes on Friday mornings that I didn't want to go to. And I said, the English department is a few steps away from my dorm, and they don't have classes on Friday.
That's what you got to be in college.
But it worked out.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
Maybe not the right reasons, but yeah, I don't regret it.
Harvard question. Please. Is it true that they have all the freshmen watch the film Love Story?
Yeah, well, it's true. You're not obligated to watch it. This is a great question. I'm going to pick up the microphone. So there's this organization at Harvard called the Crimson Key Society.
Okay.
Crimson Key, it's like kind of like a school spirit sort of group. And when the freshmen are moving in at the Crimson Key, they're upperclassmen, sophomores, juniors, and seniors who are kind of like manning the gates and checking people in and welcoming them to Harvard and showing you where you to go to get this and that. And then throughout the year, we like give tours of the campus. And if someone special is coming, we'll give them a tour of the campus, all that sort of stuff. But one of the jobs of Crimson Key is to organize all of these events for the freshmen for the first week, which is called Freshman Week, where the freshmen are there all by themselves. So one of the activities that Crimson Key does is screens Love Story, which is a kind of iconic movie about Harvard. It's about two Harvard undergrads who fall in love, and then right after they graduate, the woman succumbs beautifully, improbably, to a disease that is never named.
It's never named.
And the famous line is, altogether, love means
never having to say you're sorry.
Yes, okay. Want to try that one more time?
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
Which doesn't really mean anything when you really think about it. What does it mean?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. So
it's wrong.
I don't know if it's wrong, but I don't know what it is. If it's right, I don't know what it's right about. You know?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So what Crimson Key does is we show Love Story, but Crimson Key sits in the back and kind of a la Rocky Horror has a script of things that we shout out at the screen. And it's like, if people call things by the wrong name, we'll like shout out that they call them by the wrong name. And we like make fun of what people are wearing, and we like sing funny songs over it, and we like run around and dance to disco music. You know,
that's fun.
It's a really fun, really, really fun. It was always like my favorite thing. But then we have to do it over and over and over and over again. So I've probably seen that movie like 20 times.
Oh my God.
I would not advise.
The lead guy is really cute.
Isn't it?
I forget.
Oh, it's Ryan.
Yeah, his name is Ryan.
Mm-hmm. When is this movie even from?
The 70s.
Okay. It's vintage vibes.
Okay, wow.
It's kind of beautiful.
I liked it. Was it filmed on Harvard's campus?
It was filmed. It was the last movie to be filmed on.
The shots of the campus are beautiful.
Yes. It's a beautiful, beautifully shot movie. The music was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I feel like you'll one day write a song or music that'll get nominated for awards.
That is my dream.
Yeah?
Really?
My dream is to write a song that gets nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, it'll happen.
That's really nice. Thank you. Yeah. I hope so. I'm working towards it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want that to happen. Why can't it happen?
Exactly. It will. You gotta manifest
The funny
it.
Thing about the songs in movies now is they really aren't in the movies.
No.
It's like the credits. No.
They're over the credits.
Yeah.
So they're written for the credits, which mm-hmm. I kind of am like,
I know.
Is that a really, like, why are we nominating that? Mm-hmm. Now, that they're going to hear me say this. They're gonna be like, you know what, let's cancel the award. Yeah. And I'll never win the award I so badly want to win.
That's such a good point, though. Like, Cynthia Erivo's song
right.
is not in Harriet.
Yeah, it's over the credits. And it's an incredible song. Yeah, and actually, so I am friends with her co-writer.
Oh, okay. Cool,
Josh
cool.
Campbell.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
I think that's going to win.
But in recent memory...
You think it's going to win? I do. God, I hope it wins.
Oh, really?
I'd love for Josh to win.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'm trying to think of any... I don't know if there was really iconic music.
Well, actually, no. Probably the song from Rocket Man, because everyone loves Elton and Bernie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Shallow was in the movie in A Star
yes,
is Born.
Yes, and that was like... And that was the thrilling to see that song done in the movie. And I think that is probably what the award is meant to be.
I think you're right.
For songs that are in the movie. I mean, you would never... I don't know. If they did a best original song at the Tony Awards,
oh,
they would never do like The Bows.
right.
Exactly. They would never do like a new song.
Yeah.
Suddenly you sing.
Yeah. The Broadway.com Audience Awards always have that where you pick your favorite new song. It's usually like You Will Be Found or something.
Right.
Like, yeah. Something like an I Want song or something like that. So interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, Ben, we have some questions we need to ask.
Yes. Okay.
Lots of things we need to get into. The first major one that we should have already asked is, are you well?
I am well.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Good.
Yeah. I am well. I am. My 2020 is off to a very good start.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. So I have this monthly show at the Duplex. I had the first one in January, which you two very amazingly attended.
Oh, yes.
And it went really well.
It was
really fun. And my goal is to do it every month this year.
Oh my God!
So we'll be there in March. Continue writing new music for all of them and having new guests, and that's just it's a really fun project for me to be working on, and I feel very excited to be doing something for myself that doesn't involve, making it for anybody else but me. Like all the songs that I'm writing are just songs that I want to write, and they feel good to write, and that. Actually, that's what I watched this Miss Americana.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, this morning.
Oh wow!
And I actually had to pause it at the moment she starts going political, so I have no idea what you were talking about with her dad. But I had for so long felt really self conscious about writing music, but then even this morning, just watching Taylor Swift like sit at piano and kind of be like, you know, like making something up.
She's honing.
It's like, oh, yeah. I recognize that. Mm-hmm. You're just making things up, and that's fun. I'm really enjoying doing that, and so I am well.
You're the Taylor Swift of Broadway.
Oh wow, that means so much. Yeah. I don't. Thank you.
There's a scene. I don't know if it's in the beginning or end of the movie, but where she's like playing an audio recording that she like did in the middle of the night, and I'm like, is that what songwriting is? Like you get an idea and you get something in your head and you're like, I have to get this down before I forget it. And then you play it later.
It 100%
you relate.
Is for me. Yes.
Oh my
because
God.
I've done the thing where I'm like going to bed and I'm like, oh, I like that idea. I'll remember that. Gone forever. So never, never again. So you remember at my show, the last song, the one where everyone had to like sing along.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Oh my God, it was so cute.
The first lyrics that popped into my head as I was going to sleep, and I was like, oh, these are great. And then I was like, I'll remember that. And I was like, no, I have to write these down. And I had a melody, but I didn't record it. I just wrote the words. So when I woke up in the morning, I just had the words, but I used the words anyway.
It was amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, so can you talk a little bit about like this 30-day songwriting challenge that you did that led to the show?
Yes, I will. So I had just come back. I did a show in Milwaukee at Milwaukee Rep. I did 2 pianos, 4 hands. With Joe Kanosian, who you absolutely should have on this podcast.
He's also a brilliant performer and songwriter.
Yes, performer, songwriter, music director. I'm seeing him tonight for dinner, and I'm going to tell him.
Tell him.
He has to be on this.
Is he cute? Is he single? Anyway, moving on.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I think yes.
Oh. You're our booking agent. You and Shoshana Feinstein are our booking agent.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Yeah.
So you're doing two girls, four gays, one OnlyFans.
No. Oh, wow. 2 pianos, 4 hands.
Okay.
That's
love
a play
it.
About 2 piano playing actors. The play is about, sorry. It's a play about 2 pianists who kind of grow up alongside each other and realize kind of that maybe their dreams of being concert pianists is not going to come true for them. And what does that mean? And
okay.
It involves a lot of classical piano playing and a lot of different characters. And it was really, really fun to do it with Joe, who I love and who is my hero. And I came back from Milwaukee. I was there for 3 months, 2.5 months. And I moved apartments and I was feeling pretty creatively depleted and kind of without a lot of prospects. This show that I'm doing at Ars Nova, Oratorio for Living Things, I knew that that was happening. I knew that I would be doing that in February. And when you have a gig kind of far away in the future, it's kind of hard to find another gig in the meantime. Like, what else? What's going to hire you for, I don't know, December? No one does anything in December because of the holidays. So I kind of had to find a way to do things. And I decided I was going to challenge myself to write every day for 30 days. And I was going to write a new song every day. And I was just going to write the first verse and chorus because I thought, A, that was not too intimidating. And B, that's like 70% of writing any song, because that's, you have the building blocks there. I mean, you have what the first chorus is and what the first verse and what the first chorus are. And then you just write new lyrics to kind of shoehorn into the verse form. And then you just repeat the chorus again. Yeah. And then the bridge, you figure it out. And then you do the chorus one more time. And then you have a song. And so I started doing this. And too much to my surprise, I, A, enjoyed doing it. Mm-hmm. B, enjoyed the songs that I was writing. Like, I actually thought that they were good. And C, I was getting pretty good feedback about them because I was posting all of the songs to my Instagram, which over the course of a month, less and less people were watching it because the
and
algorithm.
Less and less clothing.
Well, sometimes I did remove the sleeves from my shirt to goose the numbers, but it didn't really work all that.
You had
often.
To do what you had to do.
I know. I took part in that horrible trend of showing my body for likes, but I'm trying not to do that in 2020. And so at the end of a month, I had 30 bits of songs, and I would say about 20 of them are songs that I was interested in continuing to write. Some of them are really bad, or not really bad, but they're just not great. Like, there's one about climate change, which is really strange.
I remember that one.
And they're like the ones that are, there's some that are like really musical theatery that I just was, that's not the kind of the vibe that I'm trying
to
go
for. The English teacher?
Yes, there's one called The Song for an English Teacher, which is about an English teacher kind of telling her young student that he'll find his way because he's gay.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the joke of it.
That's funny.
Audra McDonald will sing that
song
for me one day, hopefully. She doesn't know that, and she doesn't know me, but...
Audra at the Duplex.
Well, she'll hear this.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, she listens.
Audra. We actually met. I did meet her. I met her at the opening night of Porgy and Bess at the ART. When I was in college, she was very nice.
That started there?
Mm-hmm. No that started way. There, and I was a student, and they taught a class on it.
No way.
Through the English department. So I took a class on Porgy and Bess, co-taught by Diane Paulus, who was directing it, and this scholar named Marjorie Garber, who's a Shakespeare scholar in the English department at Harvard.
Ah.
And my friends and I all became fully obsessed with Porgy and Bess, fell absolutely in love with it, and now, actually... When is this coming out?
The 12th.
So the day that this podcast comes out, I'm going to see Porgy and Bess at the Metropolitan Opera.
Oh, wow.
With one of my best friends. We took that class together.
That's Kismet. It's awesome.
Yeah, and they've announced this production at the Met like 4 years ago, and we've been waiting to go for 4 years. And now we're going.
Oh, that's so
and I'm
awesome.
So excited, and I know that opera backwards and forwards.
Oh, that's great.
I'm thrilled.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're writing all these songs.
Wait, how did we get there? Yeah, so I wrote all these songs, and... The goal really was just to let it be whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like I never really sat down with an intention or like I want to write a song for this kind of character. I would just sit down and kind of like let myself be where I was and let the song be what it wanted to be. And that's why I think some of them are bad, because the like initial instinct that I had maybe wasn't that great. And I was just found myself going down a road, and I didn't want to stop myself from going down any road.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
So yeah. And then once I finished them, I was like, oh, well, once I finished the challenge, I was like, well, now I have to finish the songs. So I got the date on the books at the Duplex, and it was January 18th. Mm-hmm. And I just started like setting off to finish the songs. And it was really, I had been right that once you wrote the first verse and chorus, the rest of the song kind of falls into place. There are little things about it that have become challenging again, but it was really surprising. And I've said deeply so much on this podcast.
I love it.
I always find like a word to fix it. And I'll always hear it back.
Let me think of a different word. I found it incredibly.
There we go.
How about that? English major.
Yes.
I found it incredibly fun. It was just fun. Mm. It was really fun.
We need to have more of that.
Yeah. We all need to just enjoy what we're doing.
Mm, yeah.
And follow your heart and your mind and your instincts to the thing that makes you happy. I was happier doing that and like doing that show at the Duplex, happier doing that than I've been doing nearly anything else.
Oh,
in the
I
past
love that.
Oh, wow. That gives me chills. That's so great.
Oh, you know which thanks. Ones I love?
Yeah, okay.
Vessel.
Vessel is it's a bang.
It's a banger. It's a banger. It's Miley Cyrus banger vibes. Uh-huh. It's not really Miley Cyrus vibes.
Vessel is it's kind of Maggie Rogers. There was like a Maggie yes, Rogers kind yes. of phase among
which
all
is Connor's
songs.
Queen.
And I'm obsessed with her.
Obsessed with her.
Oh my
he
God.
He went to her concert alone.
I went to her concert others. Alone, okay, which cool. is something that I found to be really fun.
I'm sure.
Like,
where was it?
It was at Rockefeller Center. Or wait, I made that up. Madison Square Garden. One of those two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Radio City?
Rockstar.
Radio City.
Radio City.
Yeah.
That's the one. Mm-hmm. It was like one of the best nights of my life.
She's so cool.
She's so cool.
Her music's amazing.
Her vocals were snatched. Mm-hmm. She really did that. Mm-hmm. She did it. Mm-hmm. It was so great.
And she does it. She
yeah.
continues to do it.
Oh my God.
Really exciting.
Yeah. But I love Vessel and I loved you the most.
I loved you the most.
Yeah. You loved me the most?
No, yeah, that's what it's
you
called.
Love me the most.
You loved me the most. That's an
you love me the most.
Yeah.
That one's like, it could be a single on the radio.
It's got, it is like an earworm. One.
Thank you.
If I get the lyrics right. You know.
Right. Yeah, it's so memorable. I can't even remember what it's called. That was the last song that I wrote. That was day 30.
Ooh.
And that, to me, surprisingly, I felt like over the course of the 30 days, I'd been like working through something. And that felt very clear. Like those lyrics, I think really would... I said what I wanted to say in a really simple way. And I'm really proud of that with that song.
You nailed it. I have another songwriting question that we can move on. I feel like I'm like, and I love the song. But
yeah.
I'm wondering, do you write most of your songs from your own experience or are you channeling characters? We were talking about this with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Because I think for the first, most of her career, we assumed that all of her songs were something that actually happened to her and feelings that actually happened to her. And then she came out with her Reputation album, which... on the record she has said is the first time that she's put herself into other characters. I mean, she has a few songs where she's like the lucky one and some other things where she's harnessing other stories, but Reputation was where she was fully telling stories that weren't from her own experience. Do you find that you also were your songs are like autobiographical? Or
I think they are in a way. I think they all are about something or something that I can connect to, even if it's like an idea that's been extrapolated from a moment or an experience that I had. They're not very far from things that maybe happened to me. I think the ones where I find myself making up stories are the ones that feel more musical theatery. Like there were some in that 30 days that are like about like guys like leaving home and like running to the city, and that's you know, that very archetype of a musical theater song. But the pop stuff, yeah. And I didn't sit down and was like, I'm gonna write a song about feeling distant from my partner, but that's like that's what the lyrics were revealing themselves to me. And then I'm like, well, that's the thing I have to follow on. And what do I know about feeling distant from a partner? Oh, I know these things and I know this thing. And or like, what do I know about being so into my partner? And you know, what are the like images that I associate with that? I think it's the sign of a great songwriter to be able to put yourself totally in someone else's shoes. And I do have one song where I think I do that well, which is the On the Eve of a Canceled Wedding, which I've never been in a marriage or an engagement that I'm breaking off the night before the
Call
wedding.
Call the milliner.
Exactly. Take a message to the milliner.
Take a message to the milliner.
But in that song,
take
that's
that message.
Yeah. That song is about two people who decide before the night before they get married that they're going to call off the wedding. And it just came out. And of course, but there are things about that too, where you're like, yeah, it's about a breakup. And so I know what breakups are like, and I'm going to use my experience to kind of inform those lyrics.
I love it.
Oh, I love
it. That's
so
awesome. Okay. I have another question.
Oh, we could talk about this for so long.
I know. I wish I could. Let's hang out when we're done.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we like to ask all of our guests about their Ring of Keys moment as it relates to a life in the arts, perhaps how they felt connected to music or acting or pop culture, any of those formats of the entertainment industry. Do you feel like you have a Ring of Keys moment?
I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I have a literal Ring of Keys moment, like very much like what happens in Fun Home.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in Westchester, New York, which is about an hour outside the city. Okay. I spent a lot of time coming into the city as a kid. I saw Cats was my first Broadway show. My second Broadway show was also Cats.
Sorry. Great. Yeah.
And I loved it from a young age. And so I don't really remember, like, I don't remember falling in love with it. I think my whole life is about having loved it and having loved making music on the piano. But my Ring of Keys moment would be going to see Xanadu. Starring Cary Butler, Cheyenne Jackson,
Mary Testa,
Jackie Hoffman. It was directed by Chris Ashley.
Tony Award winner.
Yes, Tony Award winner. And I was sitting in the balcony, and Cheyenne Jackson enters that play at one point wearing like short jean shorts.
Oh yeah, girl, and, like, I remember.
Yeah, you saw it?
Not with him in it, but the photo.
Tonys, on the Tonys.
On the Tonys.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch that video. I'm sitting there. I went with a friend of mine from high school, and we bought bought tickets, but we got seated separately. So I'm sitting totally alone in the balcony, and he walks out in these like short jean shorts, and like he looks so amazing.
And like and a cut-off tank top.
Yes,
and,
like the most gorgeous specimen. And I remember my heart, like, my heart totally sinking and being like, oh yeah, I'm gay.
I love it.
I was like, yeah, there's no denying it after seeing that.
Oh my
so
God.
So that is my Ring of Keys moment, in that like I was at the theater and I saw something that it was undeniable to me.
You're the first guest who's had those both times.
I love that. Cheyenne, if you're out there, I don't know you, but maybe now.
I wonder how many people he did that for with that.
So many.
Because like, those jean shorts left nothing to the imagination.
very little. Yeah.
And he became a superstar after that.
And his performance was amazing, and the show was funny. And I remember actually that night at Xanadu, Jackie Hoffman said something. She ad-libbed something that made everybody break. And there's nothing like being the audience when people break. It's the funniest thing in the world.
I love it.
Yes.
I can remember moments when there's been a break, and it's like, oh wait, they're real. They're existing. Like, they're enjoying this just as much as I am. It's great.
And you get to feel like you are friends with them.
Yeah.
You're like, we're all laughing about this funny thing that never has happened before.
Yeah.
I that was a really like important night at the theater for me on a number of levels.
Because you like you said, you loved music forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I loved music. I started playing piano before I started singing or acting. Okay. And I really loved Leonard Bernstein in high school. I really like lionized him and was really, attached to all of his music and like going beyond just like the basics of like West Side Story and On the Town, kind of like going into like Mass and Chichester Psalms and the symphonies.
Wow.
And I went down that rabbit hole.
You really were a classical kid.
I was a geek.
Yeah.
Aww. I think is the word. Yeah.
Cute. And that's amazing. I love that. And look where you are now.
Wait, so can I ask, so when did you come out?
I was in high school. I think I was 16, 15 or 16. I had gone to a summer camp. I went to French Woods Festival of the Performing Arts.
Yes.
And there was this boy there, and I was like, oh God. Again, because it was always a moment of like, oh God, I can't deny this anymore. And I had a girlfriend at the time.
Whoa.
And I was like, I can't be with this girl anymore. Aww. Because my feelings for this boy are really too strong. And so I had to break up with the girl, and then I had to tell my parents why I had broken up with her. And my parents were incredible.
Oh, I love that.
I'm so grateful that I had the experience that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have like sisters too.
Uh-huh. Right? I have an older and a younger sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Who I love very much.
Now, which one of your sisters, I need to ask about this, sisters ran an iconic Twitter account that was the AOL Instant Messenger away message?
I remember that.
Which sister was that?
My older sister, Caroline.
Okay.
Caroline Moss, when I was in college, this was like 2010, 2011, started a Twitter account called Your Away Message. Mm-hmm. And it was a parody of like the away messages we all had when we were in middle school and high school. And it really like took off. People loved it. It's very funny. Yeah. It's like moody lyrics. It's like all the little stars and the swivels. Yeah. And it actually like changed her life, and like quite literally, like she had this funny Twitter account and then like got jobs.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Start, like, changed careers, was able to start a career as a journalist, and now is, like, you know, sure. writing books and,
wait, that's
you know,
incredible.
Is, like, fully a successful
journalist. Oh, my God. I love that.
In this world. Yeah.
I want to ask about some of your Broadway credits, because you eventually... Okay. went on to music direction. Mm-hmm. So how did that even happen?
So that happened because when I was in college at Harvard, the American Repertory Theater is like under the umbrella of Harvard University. They're right now they are in a Harvard University building, but they're very closely associated okay. with Harvard. And so they had the summer program where they had students come and intern at the theater and work on shows. In that summer, the summer that I did that, they were doing a workshop of Pippin, which was Broadway bound with Patina Miller and Andrew
oh my
Martin.
God.
And I was an intern on the stage management team, but very quickly the music team snatched me and they were like, come work with us. Cause like you can play piano and like you can play for rehearsals. You can do this or that. And over that summer I was like, oh, this is fun. I like doing this. I like talking about music. I like being in the room with the music director and thinking about these things. And then when I graduated, Michael Mayer was directing a workshop of the new musical, which was ultimately called Brooklynite. They were doing a workshop of it at New York Stage and Film, which is the summer festival at Vassar College.
Yes.
And I had auditioned for it. And I did not get the part, but I really liked the music a lot. It was written by Peter Lerman, and I wanted to still be involved with it. And in the back of my mind, I was like, I want to get cast in this production, so I'm going to keep showing my face around them.
Yeah.
And so I sent an email to Kimberly Grigsby, who was the music director of that and who was the music director of Spring Awakening.
Oh,
so I had known for years. And I sent her an email and I was like, hi, I was a... And we knew each other, but I was like, I was an intern at the ART and I would love to like watch you work on this show this week. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. And over the course of that week, I became like part of the team. I was like doing work for them. I had like forged this incredible friendship with Peter, and they found me kind of invaluable. And I just stuck around.
Amazing.
And I worked
yes.
on that show until its production at the Vineyard Theater. And Kimberly Grigsby really kind of changed my life by giving me that
so
opportunity
cool.
and continuing to give me those opportunities on Amelie,
right.
which I worked on for years, and Head Over Heels, which she called me and was like, we need a conductor to come in like 2 weeks. Can you come in?
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, sure. Sounds fun.
How cool.
Yeah.
We loved Head Over Heels. So
loved mm-hmm. Head Over
oh
Heels.
My God.
It was so good. It was mm-hmm. so funny.
Yes. It was
so
hilarious.
Smart. So moving. Mm-hmm. The music is incredible.
I know.
And let me tell you that backstage at that show was heaven.
Oh.
People were so nice back there.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, it was really special.
That's
it was
so
really,
great.
Really, really special.
So,
they really
did
created
you conduct
something great.
Amelie as well?
I did. Okay. Amelie was the first show that I conducted
okay.
on Broadway.
Broadway debut.
It was my Broadway debut.
Ah.
Yeah. I had worked on the Deaf West Spring Awakening. Mm-hmm. Michael Arden had asked me to kind of come and do work with him and Anne Marie Milazzo, who had vocal arranged the original
okay.
production. And then Amelie was my first. I conducted one performance, and then the next day they announced that the show was closing.
Oh.
And so I got one more. We all loved it, and it was beautiful. But
I love
that
score.
It was really that conducting that show. The band for that show was in the boxes.
Okay.
So we were not all together. I didn't have like a clear view of the whole stage. My family was like sitting 10 seats away from me. It was really funny.
Intimate.
Yeah. And then the other thing about being in the boxes is I couldn't like check to see if my tempos were fast.
Mm.
Like on Head Over Heels, the band was behind this back curtain. So I could like start a song and like pull out my phone and like see how the tempo is and like see if I'm doing too fast or too slow. But with Amelie, I just had to fully trust myself. And when the show ended and the lights went down, mm. I audibly into the microphone that all the band could hear, I was like, thank God that's over. It was so stressful, and I was sure that it had gone badly, but it didn't. It went well.
And you've gone on to do all these other amazing things, like, because we
yeah.
need to talk about the Hello Girls.
Yeah, we do need to talk about the Hello Girls.
Absolutely loved.
Thank you.
Yes,
did you see it?
We saw it. We didn't even know you were in it.
Really?
Literally.
And then we were like in like the first or second
row. Our friend went to see it, and he was like, I don't know if it was towards the end of the run or what. He was like, you've got to go. Like, buy tickets. And we were like, oh, when are we free? Blah, blah, blah.
It was like a Friday.
It was like a Friday night, and it was literally front row. And we were in it. We were one of the girls.
You're in the front row. Yeah, you're literally on stage.
Literally on stage.
There's no difference at 59 East 59.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Loved it.
Thank you.
Loved.
That is like the beauty.
And then there you were. We were like,
Ben is in it. And you're like playing the piano. Like, you did everything in that show.
I did do everything in that show.
Exhausting.
Like, it was exhausting. I got so skinny because I was playing piano for at least 2.5 hours a day.
Oh my God.
Sometimes for five.
Right.
And like running around, and I was the main pianist, and it was a lot of piano, and it was very active, like muscular playing. And so I looked amazing.
Yes, skinny legend.
Yeah, if you were following me on Instagram at that time, you might have seen some skin because that's hilarious. Good. Yeah,
was that World War One era?
That was World War One.
World War One. In like those like cute like uniforms and everything.
Yeah.
You guys looked great.
Thank you.
The cast was amazing.
Thank you.
The message also. I mean, again, it was so timely. It was so relevant. I should say. Like
yes.
The things that haven't changed in terms of rights for women and how we treat women, and God, it was so good.
Thank you. Recognition for women. In case anyone who's listening hasn't heard of the Hello Girls, it's about the first women to serve in the U.S. Army. They were telephone operators in World War One. They were like on the front lines in France, and the United States government didn't recognize that they had participated in the war effort until like 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
Very recently.
Oh, the ending, that really got me.
Yeah, and at the end of the show, the actresses who played those women kind of like told the whole history of what happened and how they fought for recognition.
Yeah.
What the Army said at the time is that they were... Oh God, I can't remember the word, but that they weren't in the Army. They were just kind of adjacent to the Army, but the women were like, we were in the Army, like we were on the front lines, our building burned down,
dodging bullets.
Yes, exactly.
God, there were some tense scenes in that show too.
It was crazy. I remember thinking, I love the whole show, but I remember thinking Act One was like unbelievable.
Act One of that show is gorgeous.
And
exciting.
Yeah.
I would encourage your listeners to listen to it on Spotify.
Yes.
And Broadway Records.
At Broadway Records, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are doing a concert end of February. Yeah. At Symphony Space on the Upper West Side of Manhattan.
Oh my God, that's right by my Soul Cycle.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, maybe we'll all go for a workout, then we'll do the show. It's on February... Ooh, I'm going to get this date wrong.
If it's a Friday, it's the 28th.
Okay, so it's on February 26th. It's a Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
Wednesday night at Symphony Space. We have almost the entire original company back together. We're going to do like the whole show.
Oh, we'll have to come. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful score.
It was so good.
Thank
so
you.
Glad we watched.
Yeah,
and there you were. You were doing it all.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're drawn towards still wanting to act a lot? Or?
Well, it's funny. You just asked, how did that come across my plate? I, at that time, had been really wanting to act more. And Kara Reichel, who's co-wrote The Hello Girls with Pete Mills and who directed it and is the artistic director of Prospect, I've worked with them a bunch, and they brought me in to sing in a workshop.
Okay.
They were looking for actor musicians who could speak French because it's about, you know, it takes place in France. The whole point of the reason they hired these women is because these women could speak French. They needed to be able to communicate across to the French operators, to the French military. And so I did this workshop. I really liked it. I did another workshop. And then Kara was like, how would you feel about being the music director, like doing the production and being the music director? And I was kind of like wringing my hands about it because I was so determined to be seen as an actor, even though I had conducted on Broadway. Like, I conducted Amelie on Broadway. I had a great career in music direction, but there was a part of me that still really wanted to perform, and I felt like I couldn't perform unless I was not music directing or playing the piano. Mm-hmm. I was just very unwilling to entertain the idea that I could actually do all of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And I ultimately decided to say yes And I don't really remember why I said yes, other than I think I was like, well, I want the job.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed working on the music. And I'm really happy that I did say yes, because I did do it all. Like I was in the play. I was on stage. I love performing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love music directing. I love teaching music. I love talking about music. I love getting people's performances to improve and become more musical and become more exciting. And I have been able to kind of replicate that setup across other productions and in other things that I'm working on, like this show at Ars Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Oratorio for Living Things is another thing where I was brought in as a singer, and then I actually went to them and I was like, I want to music direct this.
Oh, I love that.
And be in it. And they said, okay. And
look,
I said, great. And now here we go. We're going to be running starting in March downtown.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of right by the duplex.
Yes. Two blocks south of the duplex. Yeah. At the Greenwich House Theater on Barrow Street and 7th Avenue.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
That's going to be great. We'll have to come to that too.
You'll have to come to that.
Yeah.
Well, you saw Heather Christian, who wrote it, mm-hmm. performed at my show at the duplex.
Oh my God.
Yes. Isn't she amazing?
So great.
The best.
Truly.
You know what else I loved about your performance was when Peter Smith sang Torn.
Peter Smith.
That was chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly a phenomenal moment.
The way that they communicated the lyrics of that song was like, I heard it for the first time that night. And that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. Yes. It's an incredible song. It's kind of treated like a joke now because mm-hmm. of that lyric, which when we were all 12 years old was so funny.
Uh-huh.
Like lying naked on the floor. But Peter is an extraordinary performer mm-hmm. and interpreter of music.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a song that we did at the Duplex at one of Peter's shows, like in 2017.
Right.
And when Peter agreed to do my show, I was like, we have to do Torn. We have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it. I'm so glad you loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who's listening, go look up Peter Smith right now mm-hmm. on Instagram. On Twitter, you will not regret it.
All of it.
They are going to be your new obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we could keep going on and on and on.
Oh my God, I could talk to you guys.
I know.
So this is like that moment where we just kind of get something off of our chest and ties in the title of the podcast mm-hmm. and reminds us all about the drama of life. And I will just say, I'm going to go first because it's very brief, is that I woke up, and I posted this on Instagram yesterday, but I woke up yesterday just feeling amazing.
Yes.
And maybe it was like the fact that it was February 1st or something.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like better weather these last couple days. I just feel like so alive and so happy. And like, I want these good vibes to continue on into this year. Not that January was bad by any means, because it was great. But like, I feel good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead.
Keep going. Yeah.
Oh, so, I don't know. Yeah. Someone just closed the drawer on the other side of the wall. January, I think, like globally, like politically mm-hmm. in the world, in like the public world news was really
yes.
rough. And I think that is maybe leading some of us to think badly about maybe what happened to us personally. Like, I feel really similar. Like January was a great month for me personally. Let's celebrate that.
Yes,
we gotta celebrate our victories. Yeah,
let's celebrate that. Don, I'm glad for you.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thanks. Yeah, no, I'm feeling great. Connor,
I know.
Do you have one?
I do. I do have a dose of drama.
Okay.
I do. And I debated whether or not I wanted to like talk about this at all, but I just have to say, like, going into, this is February, this will come out in like mid-Feb, and I feel like I'm at a place where I recently came out of a relationship in a way, and but
oh, wow. What does that mean?
what I'll say about it is I'm grateful that I can continue to learn lessons and have experiences that make me feel so many things, and that I'm able to be as in touch with my emotions as I am, because I feel like there was a point after college and during my first part of when I first moved to New York in late 2018, when I was kind of shutting myself off to emotions and experiences, and you know, so I'm grateful that, you know, whether these relationships last a while or they're short and or they're wonderful or maybe not wonderful, but in this case it was a wonderful experience and the mutually ended, and I think I want to continue in 2020 allowing myself to be as in tune with my emotions as I am, because what a relief and what a joy to be able to you know, to feel so excited about somebody or feel so excited about what yourself and what you're learning and being able to recognize what you want and what you need in your life. So I guess that's my drama, which
I'm
is like,
you.
I know, I feel like it was a great couple few months, but I feel like lighter and more ready for whatever life has to come going forward. That was vague, but it's how I feel.
That's great.
A lovely monologue.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Drama. Shondaland is shaking.
Yeah.
Ben.
Okay, it's my turn.
It's your turn. Do you have...
Mine feels so petty compared to you.
Oh my God.
The two of you being like, I learned so much about myself.
I know. We're like drama
we're
today.
We're dripping with it.
We're dripping. Please lighten our
So my
our lives.
My drama is that I have had basically the same haircut my entire life. And a few weeks ago, I was with my like best friend, Charlton Lamb, who if you follow me on Instagram, you may see frequently in my posts. And we were hanging out and I said to Charlton, I will let you take me into a barbershop and you tell them to cut my hair however you want it.
Wow, that's brave.
I will go along with it. And Charlton was like, absolutely done. And then I went to the costume designer for Oratorio for Living Things, Marianne Talon, and I asked her about this, and she was like, that's a great idea. So I am going to go do that with Charlton sometime.
I'm
and just let him do whatever he wants to do to my hair.
Brave.
I'm so excited. Who cares? My hair grows out.
Yeah, it's long
it's
now.
It's so long
You have
now.
Lovely flowing locks.
Thank you. I'm so sick of them.
You're done with
I'm
it.
I'm bored. It's dramatic to me.
No, that's
it's so boring.
Hair is big. Oh my gosh! Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I can't. He's not gonna give me a mohawk or something.
No.
But
are you gonna Are you gonna bleach your hair? Like a gay in a midlife crisis?
You'll have to have Charlton on this podcast. Yeah. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Oh my god.
When do you anticipate this happening?
Sometime this week, hopefully.
Okay.
Probably by the time this comes out, okay. It will have happened.
We'll share to the drama and story, whatever the result
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, please.
We
please.
Must. Yeah. We must. Oh my God, Ben, for real, having you on has been a dream. It's honest. I had a moment when you were talking earlier and I was like, I can't believe Ben Moss is sitting here.
Guys,
we've just followed
so
you
cool.
for so long. We're such fans.
I'm just so honored and I'm having so much fun. Like I feels like we've been sitting here for 10 minutes.
I know. Sure I know. Literally, I looked at my phone and I was like, yeah. We've been here for like an hour. What?
Wow. Great.
I know.
Well, it's a delight to
oh
talk to you both.
You are amazing. You have been in our lives for so long and you have just maintained this positive and kind and giving mentality with your art and just who you are. And we're excited for everything you've got coming this year.
Thank you.
Who's listening can follow you at Ben K. Moss.
Yes.
Is that on both Twitter and Instagram?
Twitter and Instagram, Ben K. Moss. My website, benkmoss.com.
It's a beautiful website.
Thank you. Yes. I just launched that in November.
And you can also follow me if you want at Dylan McDowell.
Yes, and follow me at Connor McDowell. And also go see Ben's show at the Duplex and go see the Hello Girls at Symphony Space. Mm-hmm. And go to Ars Nova, everything. Mm-hmm. You need to see Ben and everything. And
come on down.
We'll share all the links. Yeah. We'll share all the links. And if you haven't listened to Ben's 30-day challenge, it's all on Instagram and also YouTube.
It's on YouTube. It's okay. On my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is BKM0905,
ooh,
which are my initials and my birthday.
Okay.
And
oh, you're a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo.
So are we. We're August 30th.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think that's Peter Smith's birthday. Or it's like the days away.
And Cameron Diaz.
Wow.
I'm not surprised we get on well because Virgos, we tend to understand each other.
And we all have blue eyes.
Oh my God.
We're all.
If only this weren't a podcast where no one can see what we look like. Yeah.
I know. How funny.
Yeah.
And everyone who's listening, please, if you enjoy, rate us. Give us 5 stars. Write a nice review. We just hit 100 5-star reviews.
Oh my God. Wow.
Big moment.
Congratulations.
For us. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
And we are having so much fun and we want to keep doing it.
Yes.
So, next time, Connor?
Next time,
drama.